falling into the 50s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Free-for-All Friday. Excuse me, edition of the Miller's Edge. Let me get that fixed. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Sorry about that, man. I had a frog in my throat, I guess. And probably in part due to this weather. It is real muggy, rainy, all that good stuff. It got me a little pullover chase. I actually like this. I got this when I was in school, but I'm still rocking. It's a thin one. That way, you know, it's not too cold outside, but it's like a little rain jacket. Anyway, hope you guys are staying dry. Hope you guys are ready to talk some football. Man, we got plenty to talk about on the show today. A number of things we're going to hit, starting probably with the game last night. Just that was such a great game. I don't know if you guys watched it. I definitely did. And I just want to offer some thoughts on, man, number one, congrats to Miami for advancing to the national championship game. You can see how much it meant to Mario Cristobal, my former coach. And I've always had a great relationship with him. You know, he was the offensive line coach when I first got here. I think my first 2 years I was here at Alabama, he was the offensive line coach. And I spent a lot of time on the scout team over as a little defensive end, about 215 pounds, man. But I was giving those tackles some hell. He loved it. He used to always come up to me and thank me for, you know, giving good looks. And that's what he wants, man. He wants, you know, passion, aggression, and physicality, and that's what I used to try to do over there on that scout field. People used to get mad, but you know, that's part of it. Anyway, big shout out to him, and you could just see. I mean, his team literally, Chase, has taken on his persona. I mean, you see his eyes when they get a flag, when he's not feeling something, and then you just watch the way his team plays. I'm watching this clip right here on Twitter. I'll throw it on the stream real quick. And I mean, this is just poetry in motion, just watching the physicality with this Miami football team. I put a tweet out last night. I mean, man, Chase, it must be nice to have third and short, hell, fourth and short, fourth and one, fourth and two, it doesn't matter. The defense knows what's going on. The stadium knows what's about to happen. Everybody knows what's going to happen. But guess what? We're going to line our ass up on that football, and we're going to run it straight down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it. That was kind of the story of the game. Now, there was a number of other things in this game, right? I mean, some missed opportunities on Miami's part. A couple of interceptions probably would have made this game a little bit different, but they couldn't capitalize, kept Ole Miss in it. Who, I mean, if you look at the stat sheet will show you, Miami was dominating this game. It really shouldn't have been that close of a game, but shout out to Ole Miss, man, continuing to fight, showing that heart, just showing that spirit that we all thought they would have in this playoff run since Lane Kiffin had left, but it wasn't enough. Trinidad Chambliss, Chase, was phenomenal again, came up with some big plays, especially when they needed it most, but unfortunately at the end of the game, he couldn't quite make one more magical play happen. A damn good pass, I should say, though. I mean, it actually is a pretty damn good pass. Some could argue that there was a lot of physicality on that last play. I wouldn't have been mad if they called a penalty. The problem is, Chase, you don't want to end the game on that. No, you don't want to call a penalty on the Hail Mary attempt. And then, even though you probably could have, right? I mean, there was a lot of contact. And I get it, when both guys are contributing to that contact, you're typically going to let those guys play. But I felt the guy was all over his collar well before he even had an attempt to catch the football. But it is what it is. Like, I think Pete Golden said this in the post game. That's not why they lost the game. I mean, there is a number of factors. One being Miami just out physical that Ole Miss defense the entire game. I mean, and they just had their way with these guys, man. There's no other way to put it. Carson Beck, he's returned to form. You know, he was a little inconsistent earlier on in the year. Second half of the year, he's been a lot better. Me and Gray have been talking about this. You know, this Miami football team, and we keep saying, yeah, listen, we know they've got a physical defense. We know they got a defensive line that's the best in the country, even though I think they only had one sack last night, a little bit of a quiet night for those guys. But still, didn't matter because Carson Beck, he made plays when it mattered most. And that's why I've been telling Gray and everybody else when I talk about this Miami team, listen, this is an older guy. This is a veteran who's got a lot of experience. He's played in these moments. He's a national champion. I think he was a backup at the time, but still, he knows what it takes. It's only a matter of time for a guy like that to step up. And that's what we've been seeing the last few games out of Carson Beck. And obviously, it helps a lot when you have a running game the way they do, when you have an offensive line with, I mean, a guaranteed first rounder on the right side, probably a first rounder on the left side. You know, hell, even Brockermeyer, who transferred out of Alabama, a smaller guy at the time, he's put on some weight, not the tallest or the biggest, but still, you just watch the way these guys play football, Chase. I mean, that physical brand of football, it works. I mean, these guys aren't doing a whole bunch. They'll take their shots for sure. They take their shots, but still, a lot of screen game. They love the tunnel screen. But you know what they do, Chase, most importantly, that I think Alabama, Ryan Grubb, and everybody should probably pay attention to? That guy right there, number 10, Tony.
Man.
He's a playmaker. He is their best playmaker, Chase. What do? They find ways to get him the football and put the football in his hands, whether it's tunnel screens, just hit him in the flat, downfield, whatever, right? I mean, this dude is all over the place. They're always trying to find him opportunities, man. I think now is one of the things that used to frustrate me watching our offense at times. You know, when you got a guy like Ryan Williams, I feel like Ryan has that type of playmaking ability, right? I know they're different players, and I know Tony's playing lights out right now. I mean, in all phases, even, hell, I'm watching him block downfield physically, and this guy's Mighty Mouse, right? So I'm not saying they're the same, but still, I think it just goes to show you, man, like, you know, if you're struggling getting the football down the field, there's so many other things you can do to open other things up and just get the ball in your playmaker's hands. Those tunnel screens, I mean, we're killing Ole Miss. It's tough. And you know what it also does? It keeps the defense honest. So when they keep hitting you with these tunnel screens, it's making you play sideline to sideline, making you run laterally. And then guess what? Oh, crap, we can't forget about the downhill run. Can't forget about them just running the football down your throat. Oh, and we're going to take a shot. The way Miami, you know, they scheme you up like that, it's balanced in a way where it keeps you honest. And what happens is when they keep pounding the football over and over and over, you know what that does for a defense, Chase? It wears you down. I'm telling you from experience, man. Didn't happen to us a whole bunch, but I'm telling you, when we would play teams that like to run the rock, after a while, you're like, golly, man. Shoulders start hurting, taking on pulling guards. I mean, you got these big physical linemen. They're putting all that weight on you, man. It fatigues you. And if you watched Ole Miss's defensive line, I would say, I don't know if they were out of shape. I don't know if it was, it probably was both. They're probably a little out of shape, all the traveling they're doing. But also having that big-ass offensive line leaning on you all game, trust me, man, it pays its, it takes its toll. I should say it takes its toll. But really, really good football game. I feel like the playoff games this year have been outstanding. We were probably the one game that was pretty bad to watch, ironically. And then the group of five schools. Outside of that, we've been seeing some great football games, and it's been phenomenal, and I love it. But it leads me to one question that I have for you guys. There are some injuries piling up in this game, particularly on Miami's side. And we've talked about this. We've kind of gotten lost with this conversation, but it brings me back to it. I mean, with all the extra football we're playing, man, I think that probably, you know, is part of the contribution. It's a part of the contribution, right? I mean, you saw Lacey had the ham. She tweaked his hamstring on a run. I mean, guys were dropping like flies, it felt like. But I'm curious what you guys think, because, I mean, they're only going to expand. They're not going to shrink it. Are we kind of going to have to bring up that conversation again that, hey, maybe the season is getting a little bit too long? Knowing that guys are starting, these injuries are starting to pile up. I mean, you know, knock on wood, hopefully tonight's a little bit healthier. But, I mean, you got Indiana, a physical team. You got Oregon. They're also going to be a physical team. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if you see a similar type deal in a matchup tonight, which I also think is going to be a really good football game, a rematch between two Big Ten teams. And they went at Indiana, got the better of them the last time, traveling to Oregon, beating them by 10 points. But we'll see if Mendoza and the rest of that Hoosier football team can carry on what they've been doing. Because right now, Chase, even after seeing Miami, you know, they looked impressive. But still, I would argue without a doubt, Indiana looks like the best football team in the country. We'll see if they can continue that tonight as they take on Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. And also my former position coach slash coordinator, Tosh Lupoy, who will be the head coach at Cal when it's all said and done. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that and get y'all's thoughts on that game, because I thought it was a great football game. I think it goes to show at the end of the day, man, physicality always trumps all this finesse stuff, which Ole Miss's offense is kind of like that. You see, it can help keep you in games, but still, when it comes down to it, being a physical style of football team, having a physical brand of football, running the football, man, it never fails, and it never will, right? And good defense as well. Defense always definitely wins championship games. But we got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, We'll dive into a number of other topics. I've got plenty of things we're going to talk about on this free-for-all Friday. We got the Pastor Payne with us. He's hitting that road, and he's also hitting the stream. So he'll be hanging out with us. We'll get his thoughts on that. But if you guys have tuned into the stream, you see the title. This is probably going to be the most important conversation of the day. I just wanted to throw that out there because I was watching that game last night, locked in. The title on this stream for today, it says, Alabama strikes out again. What's next? Well, what are we talking about? We're not talking about Alabama baseball. We're talking about Alabama football right now in this transfer portal, Larry. One of the guys I was really excited about, Jordan Ross, who I thought we were hopefully going to have a good shot at landing. Unfortunately, we lost that battle, ends up committing to LSU. I don't even think we ever got him on a visit. Same thing with Peak, the offensive tackle. We actually pulled up his tape from NC State, teammate of Smothers. Never made the visit here, ended up committing to the Pastor Payne's Gamecocks, man. So we might need to, we got some beef with him right now. No, I'm kidding. I will say this, though. I have some thoughts on those guys as players, but also maybe kind of, you know, the deal with them, why they didn't make it on the visits. And then I also will give you guys my opinion on what's next, right? Because I know everybody's wondering, like, oh, what would he do now? I'm not going to jump the gun, but I will tell you, I don't think it's time to panic by any means. This is part of it, but I do think we're going to have to lock in seriously on this back half because we're about, I guess, halfway through the portal. So we still got plenty of time, but it's really time to lock in because we've got some pieces that we need to add. And it starts right now over the course of really the next little bit more than a week. Because, again, just for as a reminder real quick, the portal closes. But if you're already in the portal, you still can, you know, make decisions and do all that. So there's still going to be some activity after that. We'll talk about that and more. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. And if you're a big, lesson person, you like learning. I got a football lesson that I'm going to teach today because it seems like, Chase, I got to do this every other month and it looks like we're going to do it again. So we're going to bring it back up. We're going to teach
free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. That's ziprecruiter.com/radio. ziprecruiter.com/radio.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Listen, we got the Pastor Payne on here. If you're tuning into the stream, he wants to preface by saying what he's rolling up is completely legal. It's his old man
pipe tobacco.
Yeah, his classic old man pipe tobacco. So he just wanted to make sure you guys were understanding of that. He ain't he ain't riding dirty, nothing like that. All right, so we got a lot to talk about. I just gave just some initial thoughts on the whole Miami-Ole Miss game. Great football game, man. Great football game. Two teams going at it to the end. Had some doinks off the goal post. I mean, it was one of those games, man. And I hate it for Pete and his guys because, I mean, you could just see the fight they had. But he seemed a little worn out to me, man. I feel like this has been taking its toll on him. He seemed a little worn out to me. I don't know if I'm just reading into that too much. But I know he probably wished his defense played a little better. They had some busts. Could not stop the run. Miami just chewed the clock. I mean, I think Miami literally probably had the ball 80% of the time, damn near. But I've said enough about it. I mean, do you want to offer some thoughts on that real quick before we dive into some stuff? I mean, I know you watched it. I know you probably have some thoughts.
I watched. I mean, listen, it's I'm kind of out of the playoff thing right now. I'm not really excited about it.
What? How?
Because
this is great.
I know I like football, and I love football. Yeah. But the way Kyle, I don't know if I don't even tweet much or X much no more. But I did this morning. I'm kind of sick of college football. I'm sick of what's happening. I'm sick of, you know, Mark Cuban now all of a sudden. Oh, I'm Indiana alumni. I'm gonna buy all of their off-season stuff. I'm gonna pay for it. I'm sick of Miami and their billionaires buying a team, paying Carson Beck $7 million, and, you know, 20, whatever he is. I'm sick of it because college football was so special. You know, young men worked their tail off in high school to earn the right to get a scholarship, to go to school, a chance to get an education, a chance to play a game that they love. And if they're fortunate enough or blessed enough, they get an opportunity to go play the National Football League. That's not the case no more. The case of college football right now is not amateurism. It's professional sports.
Yep.
And it takes away from a game where these guys are getting to, you go buy players, and all of a sudden, you know, Ohio State did it last year. You know, Miami's been doing it the last couple of years. And that's the reason why. I mean, this is what you see. I mean, Indiana, I know Kirk Herbstreit said something about last night, but the love of the game and all that. And I hit him back and I said, man, you're tripping. You know, yeah, you want it. Alabama got 4 or 5 stars back in the day for the last decade and a half, right? And guys were passionate. Guys, because they didn't have millions of dollars in the bank. They were hoping for an opportunity to get those millions of dollars one day. And that, therefore, it lied the passion and everything that went along with college football. Now it's just Miami got all these players they paid all this money to. So it takes away from me, just like people used to say about my Bronx Bombers, the Yankees. Oh, they just buying, you know, world championships. A lot of that was true because they were able to buy the best players. And they won a lot. And so now that's what you're seeing. I mean, Indiana, yeah, they got not a lot of 4 and 5 stars, but they got a lot of older players that they were able to bring in and made their team a very senior plus. You know, guys that are in their 20s that are playing, maybe you play a team like Alabama that got younger guys, recruits, the Ryan Williams that still don't understand how to play the game, and that happens. And experience always, to me, beats athleticism. So, I don't know, man. It was a great game. If you just watch it from the eye, Pete Golden probably wish he had some things back. I thought he made some mistakes as a coach. He showed us, you know, lack somewhere. Yeah, and that's okay. But they still had a chance to win. The bottom line, the defense failed them. I mean, they busted 2 big plays, gave up touchdowns. I mean, none that Miami did. They just didn't cover the safety steps up and got nosy and let the guy run right past. I mean, they missed a field goal. I mean, they did stupid stuff to cost them the game. It wasn't that Miami was that much better than them. They should have easily won the game. But anytime you look at a game of that magnitude, it comes down to 3, 4, 5 plays. You go like, man, that costs us. But it is what it is. I mean, I really don't even care who wins the national championship. Don't bother. I don't even care no more. I really don't. I used to love college football. But I find myself, I watch a little bit of it, then I pull away. I mean, it's just everybody's about the money. Everybody, you know, the people that cover it's about the money. The Pat McAfee's making $17, $20 million to be a stupid on a podcast. I mean, all of that bothers me.
Kind of on a podcast, but.
Right, but it irks me. I mean, all that just takes away from it. And I love a guy like the quarterback from Ole Miss, his mother pray. I love that part of it. That to me is college football. Parents traveling, parents are built in, they support their children. I mean, they do it the right way.
Now the parents are tweeting more than the players. Now the parents are more famous on social media than the players.
I don't know what Alabama's going to do. I know you talked about the transfer portal. I'm like, you know what? I mean, South Carolina.
Y'all stole somebody.
They got to go spend all this money, right? Yeah. They bring in this coach from TCU. He brings in his running backs coach. They bring in the D-line. They get Penn State players. They get these high, you know, dignified players, high-star ranking. That's played. That's got experience. They're forced to pay a lot of money so they can. You're not going to be able to compete if you don't. I mean, people say, well, Indiana, that's one example of a team that's got all these veterans. They hit the stock market, so to speak, but it ain't going to be long-lasting, right? So now they're talking about, well, Mark Cuban, well, I'll write a check for your whole transfer portal. I mean, come on, man. I mean, is this what college football is? I'm sorry, I'm out. I tap out. Have at it. you're not amateur sports no more. You are a professional sport. You're talking about, like, Shane Beamer right now, they're sitting here in Columbia. They're bringing in NFL GM guys, and that's what has to happen. And so don't tell me college football is a college sport no more. It isn't. It's a pro sport, and then therefore, I'm done with it. I mean, whoever wins. You know, whoever got the most money and the smart, make the best decision with that money, is probably going to win. I mean, so those days of what y'all had and guys getting developed, guys staying at their school for 5 years, guys waiting their turn and their opportunity, it's gone. That's not happening anymore. We're bringing guys from all over the place. Now we're looking at like a free agent list. Who's a free agent? Who can we get? That's what you're doing right now. Whether we lost that guy, so I only got this guy, or LSU, he got the most money. Why? Because they told Lane Kiffin, you got all the money you want, go spend it. Go get the best player. It ain't because he beat somebody because he recruited them. He said, I got the best system. He said, I'm going to get you the best education. The coach didn't tell the parent, you know, we're going to help turn your young man into a grown man. He's going to have great opportunities after he graduates. If he don't make the pros, we got a great, alumni base that kept his job. That's gone. That's all the stuff that college, the things I know about college, things you know about college, is gone. Absolutely gone. Is this a pro sport? Is who got money and who can bring in the so-called GM and go out and create ways to bring these players in and you try to build a team? That's what it is. And it's sad that that college football now has run off the road, period. It's done. It's a pro sport.
Mm. No, I agree with everything you're saying. You're not wrong. However, I would argue that watching these games over the past few weeks with the college football players, they've been good football games, right? And so I can appreciate that. I'm trying to hold on to that appreciation of the sport because I like you, I like watching football and I like watching good football. Like, this is what the college football playoff should be, and it's refreshing. Obviously, I would love to see Alabama in it. But it is refreshing to see the U in there, right? Knowing the history with that program. Ole Miss, right? Seeing their emergence, an SEC team that has been, they've been decent over the past years, but they've never gone this far. It's their best season yet. You know, Hayden got cut short. An Indiana team that came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I still enjoy good football, so I do appreciate that. But you are 100% right.
I don't care who wins it. Three teams can win it except Miami. I hope Miami bus won't crank to get to them. Whatever. I mean, it just...
It wouldn't matter. They're playing at home.
I like Mario Cristobal. They're going to be at their home stadium. I know they can take an Uber to the game. But my point is, whoever it is, I hope they lose. You know why I hope they lose? Because I cannot stand to see... I'm tired of seeing Michael Irvin. I'm tired of seeing Ray Lewis not at every game. I'm tired of seeing all this you crap that you ain't been worth a pony for 2 decades. Now so we're talking about the freaking, I'm sick of that because it's just like, man, get out of here.
But I mean, that's their alma mater. I mean, like, listen, Mike Irvin's doing too much.
Now laying on the ground, he's so theatrical. And just come on, man.
He needs to keep his pants on his waist. But I mean, like, Michael Irvin.
You know, you're 60 years old. Your pants fall into your freaking, like, I mean, come on, man.
Look at him. Look.
I wouldn't want you to be around that crap. I mean, that's like.
He losing his mind out there.
Today. Look at him put belt the. Putting up the U. Listen, it is annoying as hell. And another one, just real quick. For this time, at least he didn't have his pants were falling off his rear last time, and I thought he was about to have a slip up. But I mean, listen. I know it is doing too much, but it is what it is. At least he's got passion right now. I mean, you talk about the whole money aspect. You're 100% right. We're going to dive into it. Like I said, we had an offensive tackle that really could have been beneficial for us. He was scheduled to visit us. A lot of people are excited. Hell, I'm breaking down his tape. Now I done wasted 30, 40 minutes of my damn own life watching a guy who's going to go suit up for the Gamecocks. But it's part of it. He ain't even making on the visit here. Shane Beamer, Ray Tanner, whoever it is back in Columbia.
Ray Tanner's gone.
Oh, man. Poor Ray. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, like, the kid didn't even make it out of Columbia. They locked him down and said, hey, man, give us a number. And I'm going to talk about what's going on and then what we need to do to pivot when we come back. But first, we got to hit a timeout. I appreciate your thoughts. I think everybody listening, really, it resonates with everybody because especially us at Alabama, some of these other schools, they didn't have a choice, right? Like they had to go pay up and hit the portal and do all this. But we've always, you know, took pride in retaining guys and building guys up, guys that bleed crimson. Now, I don't even know half these guys or who they are or where they come from. I like you said, it feels like a pro team. We're just signing them. Hey, all right, come put on this jersey. I don't know if they know anything, if they know a lick about the University of Alabama or could even care. Hopefully that's not the case, but that's how it feels. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hey, here we go. Let's talk some portal stuff since we just got a great lesson in speech and I guess, sermon from the Pastor Payne about this whole thing. Here's the thing. So we swung and we missed on Peak. We swung and we missed on Ross. Well, did we really even swing after all? I don't even know. They never made it to campus. But this is what's happening. And I tried to say this when this whole thing first started, when everybody was like, oh, just wait, they're cooking. I don't even know if the burner's on yet. Like, we're not cooking. And then listen, we're doing about what I expected. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Yes, we need more, but here's the thing. Alabama is not looking to pay what these other schools are paying. And that's what I was trying to politely say. And when it comes to these guys that are going to be charging a premium, we're not really going to be in the running with that. That's just never been who we are. That's never been our philosophy. Now, I was curious if we might see a little bit of that shift since we've had a number of guys leaving. What happens there? You open up some money. You got, you know, a little more cheese in your pocket that you can go spend. But I'm just telling you guys, the left tackle, they're charging a premium, right? Edge rusher, he's charging a premium. You got to make these decisions and on where you want to put your money. And we've never been the school to just be handing out these checks like that. We just don't do that. So I'll be honest with you. I'm not shocked that these guys aren't even making it to the visit, because what's happening is they're going on these other visits and these schools are locking them up before they even leave. And I'm telling you, that's why I kept saying, if you guys knew the numbers, the offers, the compensation, that, I mean, like it is beyond probably what you guys could even imagine. So there's no shock really that this is kind of happening right now. Where do we go from here? What's next? I'll be honest with you. There's a number of options, and you have to remember, too, the portal window is open for, I think, 15 days or whatever it is. It opened up last Friday. So you got about another week or so of the portal being open. However, that's not the cutoff. So all that means is if you choose to transfer, you have to do it within that window. As long as you do it within that window, you can be in the portal for, I guess, weeks, month later, whatever it is. I don't know what the limit is on that, if there even is one. But as long as you're in the portal, you're in the portal. So once that cutoff hits, whoever's in there, that's who you have to choose from. And trust me, just like we had a guy yesterday leave, and Isaiah Horton, we'll talk about that here in a minute. People are going to start. There's still people that are going to pop up and enter the portal. That said, do I believe we're going to hit on these home run people, these top guys? Again, look at our history. We don't ever really go land the top players out of the portal like that. I could be wrong. And again, I don't really care about the ratings. That doesn't matter, because I'm going to give you my honest opinion. And this is not coming from somebody who's salty that we didn't get Peak. You guys know me. I have no emotion when it comes to this stuff. Like, I literally just like breaking down tape and following updates. We watch both Peak's tape and we watched Jimothy Lewis, the reserve tackle from Ole Miss. And if you guys were watching the stream yesterday, I literally broke both these guys down. Two different types of players, two different kind of body type styles. You know, Peak being a little bit more athletic, better feet, but he's going to be a little more susceptible to power. Jimothy a little bit more on brand with kind of a guy like Caden Proctor, more powerful. And I know you guys are probably like, oh, crap. No, but hear me out. excuse me. I actually kind of liked his tape a little bit. I wouldn't say better. But on tape, he was more powerful. To me, I'm like, we can work with that guy. I think he's younger. He got some more life out of him outside of just this year. So what I'm getting at is you might have to settle for some guys like that, which might not on paper look exciting. And I still would love to get a proven guy. instead of trying to take a swing on a guy who's a reserve guy who has good potential, because I think you need a balance of both. I would love if we could land a guy like Jimothy Lewis, then also get another proven, experienced guy that you know has played quality snaps and can come in here and immediately make an impact and improve what we've, you know, seen out of the offensive line over the last few years. But what I'm saying is, don't get too caught up when you see, oh, peak number one offensive tackle in the portal. I'll be honest with you. Again, I watched the tape, not highlights. We watched the tape. There's other players that might not be ranked this high to me. I'll be honest with you. My thoughts on Peak was good player, good athlete, but he's not perfect. He's not a polished guy either. Does he come in here and he starts and he's got plenty of experience? Yeah, 100%. But I'm telling you right now, I didn't see him as, oh, you get him here, then he'll be a first rounder immediately next year. No, he still had some stuff to work on as well, as will all these guys pretty much. But I say that just so you guys understand. Don't get caught up in rankings. Don't get caught up in, oh, we missed on this guy. Just be patient right now. We get to a few weeks down the road and we haven't landed hardly any guys and we don't have depth and we don't have anybody that's proven. Then we can kind of start talking about, all right, you know, this looks a little, not like the best situation. Don't mean it can't pan out. You still got a guy like Jackson Lloyd who, I mean, I've seen him since he got on campus. I think he's a great athlete, great size. He moves well. Listen, he might end up developing and you might say, all right, man, this redshirt freshman tackle we got, he's better than anybody we would have brought in anyways. The problem is you're just banking on that potential. And to me, in this day and age, if you don't have to do that, I probably would not do that. Let that guy continue to develop and then get somebody that's proven. That should be the goal. But it might not work out that way because, like my dad said, at the end of the day, for all these people that try to sit here and tell me, oh, no, but we recruit so well. All those folks in the recruiting office, they're going to get the job done. Guys, this is the transfer portal. I tried telling you. I know how this stuff works, man. It's just not recruiting. These dudes care about two things, how much you're paying me and what opportunity am I going to have? Where am I going to play? Am I going to start? What does that look like and how much you pay me? That whole, you think these guys are establishing these great relationships in 2 weeks? That don't make sense. Recruiting guys, that you're recruiting these guys for a year, 2 years, sometimes three. You're not doing that in the portal? No. This is like he said, this is like free agency. It is what it is. And so if you're not willing to pay that bread like that, you're not going to land the players that you guys are seeing and hoping to land. It doesn't work like that. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, that's the reality of college football. That's where we're at. And it sucks. I hate it because like he said, man, it doesn't even feel the same. I don't know if these dudes even care about this script day that I'm wearing on this shirt. Like I said, I got this pullover in college. I still rock it. I love it to death. You know what I mean? You see the wall that's decorated with all those national championship visits to the White House, the celebrations on the field afterwards that they give us, you know, in memory of winning these championships. I take pride in all that. I don't know if these dudes would care less. These dudes, in my opinion, I don't know if they're coming here because they want to play for Alabama or they're just coming here because they think it's cool and they're going to get paid. And it sucks. It sucks. The whole thing with B-Sci-5 that we take pride in, that just doesn't feel the same. You know, and I feel like each year it changes.
It's not the same. It's not.
What changes each year?
They don't care. They don't care because they'll come 1 year, and if it don't work out the way they think it should work out, they're going to go to the next one. And, I mean, it's about money. It's no loyalty. It's nothing there. That's what I'm saying. Like, at South Carolina, okay, every year there's 40 different guys on a transfer portal coming through the school, mm-hmm. right? And you build a fraternity, you know, in the Hall of Fame, you know, the all-time team, you know, for years. I mean, if you didn't know these guys, you got to know them at events and functions and, you know, different things. And you hear their stories and you hear about playing the rivalries. And I mean, there's just camaraderie there, even if it's decades apart from playing each other. Those things were cool, right? That they took pride in, like, for us putting on a block C and showing up. Now, I don't even know 90% of these dudes. I mean, I go over there and be like, hey, this is so-and-so from, he transferred in from Cal or wherever. You know, okay. And what? He don't have no, he's not a game cop. He's a free agent.
Yep.
He's a free agent. When I left New York, and all those years I stayed in New York, the hardest thing for me was leaving and going into a different locker room now. I had the fortune going to Minnesota, and I'm big, big friends with Jeff George and John Randall and Chris Dolman, Jerry Paul, you know, Andy Taylor. It ended up being a cool thing, but still, it was, man, it's a different locker room. But I've been in there with boys, you know, for LT and Phil, all these guys for all these years, friends. We've been rock and roll and training camp, doing all this stuff together. It wasn't even the same. Yeah, I met some good guys, but it was not the same. And, I mean, like, even now, when I talk about NFL, I always talk about, I sometimes forget I even played at Minnesota. Somebody have to remind me. I mean, it's just like, right, it's like, that's my point. There's going to be people that come through Alabama, it's going to be for 9 months.
Like Horton, and this isn't a knock on him. He was a great player, made some great plays. Shout out to him making plays in the Iron Bowl and whatnot. But Isaiah Horton, right? He came from Miami, great player, right? But it was just a 1 year short term rental. He's back in the transfer portal. Like, I hate to say like this, but
it's a plug and play guy. It's like, we need a third option receiver. We need a more veteran receiver. Okay, let's see who we got out there. We can get a veteran guy that we don't, you know, we can't depend on an 18-year-old. You know, there are not many guys like number 10 at Miami that can play at that high level, or Ryan Williams that can come there and mature beyond his years. You know, there's not a whole lot of that. So you got to go out and get plug and play guys. You know, Alabama need tackles. They're trying to go find veteran guys. You don't want to go find a guy that you're not sure. Why are you going to spend money on a guy that ain't played at the school he's at? So if I'm going to be in that game, I'm going to go find a guy that can freaking play.
Yeah.
Right. Then I can say, okay, he might be wanting to leave Texas A&M or Clemson or wherever, Georgia. But you know what? We need a left tackle. We got to protect our star quarterback. 100%. I'm willing to pay him a lot. I'm gonna put the bag to his feet. They say, man, we want you here, and well, make him say no to. That's what got to happen.
You have to.
Yeah, I can't go to whim and hope I get a reserve guy that I recruited in high school that said, okay, I'm going to go get him. And, well, he can't even play at the school he's at. If you can't play where you at, I ain't giving you no money to come here. Sorry, you should have came in through high school, did that round. I'm not giving you no money. I mean, if I'm giving you money, you best be able to play. And I'm going to put a clause in there. If you can't measure up to the money that I'm giving you, because this is professional sports now, then guess what? I got the right to take money back.
Mm.
That's where I'm going to structure contracts, because if I'm going to put money on the line, you're not going to get a bag and just walk around and floss with your Louis Vuitton and Gucci and your rollers and all that. And then you go out there and you suck and you stuck with my $5 million. No. We're going to have something in there, some clauses about you have to do X, Y, and Z. And if not, then certain part of this contract is null and void. That's the way I'm going to structure. Now, if you just want to go stay up Jesse James, what's going to happen? Alabama gets a bunch of Jesse James. You know, they Jesse James without a gun. They go there and they rob and they steal and ain't giving nothing.
Mm.
That's bad.
Well, I'll say this. Alabama's in an interesting predicament here because, and I said the same thing like even when we had Clint on. Like, listen, at this point, as much as we just talked about, I don't want to sound hypocritical, as much as we just talked about how much we hate this system, it is the system. You don't have a choice. And if you're Alabama, especially Kalen DeBoer going into year three, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, it was a step in the right direction. There's a lot of positives. But when you end the season the way you ended it, man, it kind of, there's like a little bit of a scar there. You know what I mean? Sitting there. And then it kind of opened back up with the way we lost that game in the Rose Bowl. I agree with you. You can't afford to rely on guys that were reserves other places, even if they have a lot of potential, even like relying on the young guys. And that's why I said at some point our philosophy here in Tuscaloosa, we're going to have to shift it a little bit. And as much as we don't want to do it, maybe, and maybe I don't know about how the resources work. You have no choice though, because this is year three and there are a lot of eyes on this football program. And we are sitting in a position. The reason I say we're in an interesting predicament is because not only do we need a proven guy, we need bodies in general. We have like six offensive. We have five scholarship wide receivers on the roster right now. Five. Only five. That's only like all the guys that are needed to play. You don't have any depth. So you have to get that. The offensive line, there's like six, maybe seven scholarship offensive line, if I'm counting that correctly. We need way more depth. So I'm okay getting the guy that's a reserve guy who has good potential, because you need that anyways. But I also feel like it is imperative knowing how this offensive line has looked, and I hate to say it like this, but we have not developed great over the last few years. So I don't think you want to over rely on that either. If you're Miami and you got Cristobal as a head coach and Mario Ball and whoever balls, all these balls that they have on their coaching staff that are just physical offensive line guys, that's one thing. I mean, could you see what they've done? They've got a couple portal guys in that line, but they developed the hell out of these players. You know what I mean? I just think if you're Alabama right now, from what I've seen, you can't rely on that. And you have to find a way. And I don't – listen, a lot of guys have hit the portal. You should have some stuff opening up. You should have some extra resources, right? And that's what Courtney Morgan was saying on that show. Like, oh, well, if a guy decommits, well, that just means we can pay another guy a little bit more. Well, we got 20 guys or so in the portal. A receiver that just left yesterday allegedly was making like $700,000. You tell me we can't get a solid tackle with, I mean, at least close 50-60%
of. Wait a minute. Who's making $700,000?
Allegedly, according to On3, I think they had Isaiah Horton as like a $700,000 guy. I think Bernard was listed as. Well, again, we're not pocket watching. I don't pocket watch you on the Brothers Edge.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you hear what I'm saying? So that's $700K allegedly that might have just opened up.
Bernard graduated. Let me ask you, how many catches did Mr. Horton have?
I think he was like third on it. Ryan Williams was second on the team. I want to say he was third maybe, but he had a number of touchdowns. He had Missouri big game, Auburn big game. He was a little streaky at times, but he had like several games, like multiple touchdowns. But
I know he had some good games, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know about 700,000 though. I mean, to think about it, you know what's crazy? Latier Brooks was probably making like maybe 80 or maybe 100 type deal.
Again, where is he at now?
We re-signed him. But I'm telling you, see, this is how it should work. You play well, you get rewarded.
Right. I ain't mad with that.
It's that simple. That's how it should be. You play well, you get rewarded. Lassier Brooks, Michael.
Now, what about this Cam Coleman guy? What about Cam Coleman?
Man, that boy is asking about 2.5. I mean, he's a damn good player, but I'm just saying, listen, you tell me what you do. You got an offensive that looks like ours, that's bare bones, ain't got nothing to go off of right now.
Cam Coleman, what was his stats last year?
Well, remember, he was at Auburn, right? So, I mean, you got a bad quarterback situation. I mean, listen, I don't want to go off his stats. I don't know his stats, but I'm just telling you, he's 6'3", 200 maybe, something like that. Hell of a player. He's from the state, but I'm just saying, allegedly, word on the street is he's going for 2.5 upwards of maybe even 3. And best believe, Texas A&M are not afraid to drop that kind of money.
Are they going to pay it?
Yeah, they're going to pay it. But I know who's not. Alabama? We're not. If he comes here, it's going to be on a discount. But my thing is, I hate to say it like this, but the days of saying like, oh, come to Alabama and it, like, for somebody like me, it would work because I take pride in it. I love the history of it. But I'm saying, if we could find more guys like that, that'd be great. Because, like, to me, like, man, I light up when and I don't go around just saying it because I'm modest. But, like, when people are like, oh, you played Alabama, like, I take pride. You see, I'm bammed out. These dudes don't care about that.
But these new guys ain't wearing Bama stuff no more. They wearing Louis Vuitton coats.
Gucci, Louis.
Gucci sweaters. I mean, they ain't putting on a shirt because they damn embarrassed by it because they got the end. They ain't putting that on.
Yeah, this ain't high-end enough no more. For us back in the day, this was wearing Gucci. You walked around campus with this. This was better than any Gucci, Louis, Hellstar, any apparel you could find. Nowadays, we don't want to get caught in that. Nah, that don't feel luxury enough.
That's what I'm saying, man. The fact that we can sit and talk 45 minutes about this nonsense about a guy, I ain't done crap, and talking about $700,000, and you give him $700K, and he's going to leave.
He's a good player.
You gave him an opportunity. Alabama does give you the biggest thing. Because all them other teams, Alabama's if you look at people that watched that game last night, they ain't touched the game that Alabama played in. The amount of views, I promise you that.
Oh, no, views, no, but I'm saying he did transfer from Miami, so to be fair, I mean, his old team is in the championship.
Oh, now he's going to go back to Miami? Now you think they're good? We've seen that before. How many times have we seen that?
Well, we did see it with Prater. Prater went to Iowa on a visit. He went on a vacation road. He took a quick trip to Iowa and circled the block, which, I mean, I don't blame him. But Iowa ended up winning the Joe Moore Award, I think.
I think they did.
All right, here, so I just heard Chase's voice. Chase, I'm sorry. Let's do this. I know we got a combined break, so we'll hit this top of the hour break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. Hour number two coming right up, and I'll probably stay behind a little bit. We'll probably watch some more tapes since you guys love that. So all that is in store when we come back from the top of the hour break, and we're going to go to the phone lines. We want to get y'all's thoughts. We've been offering all of our opinions on this. What do you guys say? I'm sure you guys got plenty of questions. We'll answer those as well right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and
But don't wait. This offer ends January 15th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional rain and a few strong thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. The rain heavy at times. A flash flood watch remains in effect. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow rain ending during the morning. Temperatures falling into the 50s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. This is exactly a free-for-all Friday. I think it was during the break, but if you want a good laugh, we're cutting up over here. It's definitely going that direction today. Real quick, before we go to the phone lines, we got some super chats we got to show some love to, because we always appreciate you guys for y'all's support and y'all's questions 100%, and we got to prioritize these for sure. We got one from Ron. Thank you so much for the super chat. He says, Christian, should we be worried about striking out on top transfer portal? Guys, here's the thing. Should you worry? No, not yet. Because like we talked about earlier, there's plenty of time left. There's going to be guys that aren't in there now that will be in there. There's going to be conversations being had. Best believe there's guys that aren't in the portal, but there's going to be, you know, whether it's through different channels, you know, trying to see if we can pique somebody's interest, saying, hey, man, like, you know, we got a spot here. you know, if you're on the fence about this, and then, you know what I mean? So there's going to be guys that aren't in the portal that you might not be thinking of right now that could pop in there. And remember, it goes on past the date. The date, which is like next week where it shuts off, is just for you, you having to enter the portal, right? That's all that is. You can still sign guys from the portal past that date. So I would not say worry about it. But if you guys have been listening to what I've been saying, you probably wouldn't be as shocked that we are missing out on some of these top guys, because I try to not warn you guys, but just give you guys a heads up. I'm very familiar with how we do things, you know, and then we're not going to really go after these top guys that are demanding like what some of these other schools will pay. We're not going to be matching what Texas A&M, Texas, Ohio State, maybe even Georgia or Oregon will pay. I'm just telling you guys, I know that to be true. We're not going to do it. So you have to find guys that would be willing, that wants to come here and that actually want to play here, which to me isn't necessarily a bad thing, because me and my dad talked about it. You should try to get those types of players that actually want to come play for the University of Alabama. And that's why I told you, majority of the top recruits that we bring in, I'm telling you, probably 80, maybe even 90% of them could have gone and signed with another school for more money. I'm not saying we don't have money. I'm just telling you how we do things around here. So you should respect the guys that do sign here, the top guys, because I'm telling you, they probably could have made some more money other places. And I'm not saying every one of them. Some of them probably we did pay, you know, a pretty nice price. But that's just the philosophy of how we've done things. Maybe we start to see it change. Maybe this puts some pressure on them to say, hey, we don't have a choice now. Now we're going to have to start doing things a little bit different. I don't know. But I would say not just you, Ron, but everybody that's kind of worried right now. And that's why you guys are tuning in, because you guys want to hear our opinion on it. Don't panic just yet. There's still time. Let it play out. See what happens. Now, we will circle back to this conversation next week when it closes, a couple weeks after that, and we'll see how this roster starts taking shape. And if we don't address some of those critical needs, then we can say, all right, there is a little bit of concern in terms of where we're at right now. But we still, even at that point, if I could offer you any bit of confidence, you still have to let these guys, you know, go and show what they can do. Hell, I'll be out there during the spring. I'll tell you guys what I think about some of these young guys who we might have to rely on. And hopefully I can come back with good reports. And, hey, we might have missed on this guy in the portal, but I see why they weren't so eager to go get this guy. They felt good about a guy like Jackson Lloyd. They felt good about a guy like QB Reese. I see it. Even though, I see the potential in those guys, but I haven't seen them, you know, really – well, you know, in quite some time like that. So I'm curious, right? And then they'll have training camp. We'll have to see on that. But big thanks to Ron.
Ron, let me give you the opposite real quick. You should be worried. You should be worried, because if they're not willing to pay top talent, they have shown to me in 2 years enough for me to see that you're not going to develop average to above average talent to be able to compete when you get a chance to play teams like Indiana, teams like Georgia consistently. You not have shown me that you have a coaching staff that can take a guy from here to here. They haven't shown that. And therefore, it lies the problem. So you better go get some dudes, older dudes, veteran dudes that's got a lot of starts, a lot of snaps under their belt. Bring those guys in. That's going to tell me you can't do it at every position, but you better have them in the most critical positions.
There, listen,
in Alabama.
Okay.
They haven't shown me that they can do that. That's all I'm saying. So I think it is a reason to have some worry. I do.
Well, I'll agree in terms of I don't think enough players have shown that, right? That development that you're referring to, I'm not going to disagree there. But I will add that I do think there are some examples of guys that this staff brought in that they evaluated well and that are showing signs of being really good football players. I'll give you a couple of examples. Lotsier Brooks, you know, he was a 3-star guy, I believe, coming out of New Jersey, something like that. Really talented player. We see how special he is. Michael Carroll, he was a higher rated guy, but still, to me, he shows a lot of promise. I'm excited about him. The tight end, Caleb Edwards, I think he was like a, you know, just barely a 4-star guy. Go out west and get him. I think he's got some potential to end up being a good football player. So, I mean, DeJuan Lee and some of those other guys a little bit harder because they were like top 5-star guys. So it's hard to necessarily say, like, was it great development or was it, you know, we did a really good job recruiting a really good player? Probably a little bit of both here. But I will say they've shown signs of it. It just needs to be a little bit more consistent. And I think I think what you said is very fair, but I think there's, you know, you got to look at it from both ends, right? But good stuff. One more super chat we got to hit real quick. My guy Brandon from D.C. with the $10 super chat. He says, building relationships, facing adversity, and development are traits that are being lost. these high schoolers will learn the negative implications when experience and production leads to the dollars. I mean, that's spot on, man. I mean, it's unfortunate that we've gone away from that, like the whole relationship building, the you know, and adversity is a big one. And I think one thing about the transfer portal is it teaches the opposite. I mean, when guys even sniff adversity, I mean, they're hitting the portal. And I've also said this, to be fair, man, it's not all, just like we had that big conversation over Christmas and we were chopping it up. It's not all the players. You got a lot of parents, coaches, and representatives or quote-unquote agents, people that probably aren't even legally supposed to be doing, that are telling these guys bad information, telling these guys, oh, man, they told you when you were getting recruited, you were going to be this. Nah, man, let's go do this. We can get paid this. You know what I mean? So it's hard to fault the players in a lot of this, too, because I know what they're dealing with and the type of people that they have breathing down their necks, telling them, oh, you need to do this, give them faulty information. They end up going in the portal, going to a school, then it doesn't even really work out like that. Because you said it best, too. There's a lot of guys that there's a reason they're in the portal. And these coaches know that. These coaches aren't dumb. These coaches are like, there's going to be a couple guys that are, man, they got a real deep room right there. It is what it is. But majority of the time, these coaches are sitting there wondering, all right, why didn't you play at LSU? Why didn't you play at Georgia Tech? Why weren't you, you know, you were there 2 years. Why didn't you get on the field? These coaches understand that, just like for Alabama, there's 80% of these players that are in the portal right now that didn't really play much over the first 2 years. Normally, there's probably a reason. You know, they're depth guys for a reason. That's not disrespect. That's just the bottom line. It's the truth. So, really good stuff. Brandon, thank you so much. Ron, seriously, thank you guys so much for the super chats and support. We appreciate you guys. Chat is going crazy. There's a bunch of comments and stuff I want to get to at some point. But first, we got to go to the phone lines. But even before that, we got to hit a quick timeout and stay on schedule. When we come back, we're going straight to the phone lines. I promise we got Smitty up first. We'll get him. We got Raymond. We got Digger. And we got Chris. All those fine gentlemen on the phone lines. We're going to go to you when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
The Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
One shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
343-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional rain and a few strong thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. The rain heavy at times. A flash flood watch remains in effect. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow, rain ending during the morning, temperatures falling into the 50s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
into this free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I just had some fun going on a rant. I promise I'm not serious. I'm just trying to – so my brother always tells me, he's like, you know, you're not – you got to be a little more entertaining, man. You know, you kind of just – you know, it's even keel just explaining stuff. So I'm trying to have some more juice, some more fire here on the show. And it helps when I got him on here because I feed off of him. But anyway, so yes, yeah, so if you're wondering, why is Christian crashing out on the defense? I promise I'm not. I really care less about this. But it really – guys, I'm not going to lie. Like, all seriousness, though, it really is frustrating when you try to explain something over and over because, I'm trying to educate people on the game of football, man, like how it really works. It's not what people are saying or seeing sitting on the couch. Like, listen, guys, for our radio listeners that are just hearing this, nickel defense is deployed to combat what you're seeing majority of these offenses line up in, which is 11 personnel, even on first.
Nickel is made to stop the pass. But you're matching up against personnel. I mean, so it's like dime. You know, if you go dime, I mean, you got six defensive backs. I mean, you only have four wide receivers, you know. Listen, it's all about matchups. Any coordinator, any football coach that knows anything is going to tell you that the game is about matchups. Now, I once said, because we did it at New York, we did play our 3-4 against 11 personnel at times. And the reason why we did that, because it depended on the distance, the yards and distances, right? If it was a still considered a rundown, we would keep our regular in there because we could defend the run better. But most of the time, 99% of the time, 4-2-5, 3-3-5, whatever you want to call it, this right here, what you said with Georgia doing, could be looked upon as a 3-3-5, three true defensive linemen, as you can see right there. You got 7-3-6 or more like linebackers, right? And you probably got a safety type out there on the slot somewhere. I mean, so however you want to spin it, it's the same thing because your jack can easily be a defensive end or an outside linebacker. Yeah, you can call it what you want to call it.
And he's a hybrid, right? Because you can get to four down. This is an odd defense, and this is why. Listen, this is basically playing a 3-4, but just with nickel personnel. Again, at the end of the day, it's about matching personnel, right? Like Tennessee, they are daring you to be dumb enough to go line up in true regular personnel so they can get an easy mismatch and it's going for six. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's all about matching.
Right, because they want to take that slot guy and they want to get him on a Sam back. He truce like I was. I was a Sam backer. They motion out the trip some kind of way. Then I got to line up on number two. So that means the front has to slide. That means I slide. That means I got to move out to number two. And now you're in a mismatch. Now you can get away with it if you're playing zone because you just drop into a location and or spot. But if you somehow get caught in man coverage, you're dead in the water. So you have to understand these things. Yeah.
No, and I was just going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know we got to go to the phone lines. That is my point. It constricts you. No one's saying you can't. Sure, if you guys are just play Madden all the time and want to just go line up in regular Bates personnel against a true, you know, blue offense, 11 personnel, yeah, you can. Like he said, you are restricted to only playing zone. Why? Because man coverage would have a 250-pound outside backer on a slot guy.
They can be on number 10 from Miami because they move him around.
Yeah,
Sam would have to be man on that guy. And
they would intentionally do that. It would be coaching malpractice. That's what I'm trying to say. So when I keep seeing people keep saying this, I'm like, it is the most ignorant thing when you, like, I'm like, I have the diagrams right here. Like, if you don't believe me, listen to Kirby Smart, who's a two-time national championship winning head coach and did it as a coordinator, too. Watch Georgia. Just watch Georgia. We don't play a whole bunch of men like that, but watch Georgia. I'm sure Ole Miss plays a good bit of game. Just watch the game last night. I know you're going to immediately say, oh, well, see, they were a nickel. That's why they got gashed. No, they got gashed because they were out physical. It had nothing to do with it. It wasn't the scheme.
Yeah, and see, like this front, this mid front, like with the Giants,
it's good,
right?
It's a good front.
But the Giants, you know, we can play this front. I would be 7. LT would be normally the starter right there, right? Because now you're talking about it's true nickel, right? So that would be 56. I would normally come out of the game, right?
Because
they put a defensive back in there that can cover, that's faster, quicker, and that type. So I would normally come out. So I would be right here. That would be normally the regular defense. That would be me. I'm going to go to the two receiver side, which is the passing strength. So you have to define the strength here. Sometimes people go to the run strength. When it's regular personnel, we go to the run strength. That's normally to the tight end side. But when you open like this, right, I'm going to go to the passing strength, which would be the two receiver side. So now I got to walk, right? So now I got to come up out of that box, which is outside that tackle box, and I got to go where the mod is. I know people on the radio can't see this, but, point is, you know, that's the difference. Now, what happened is when we face teams like this, that they, like back when I played, we didn't play a ton of 11 personnel unless it was obvious passing situations. But if they did, when we played the old Houston Oilers or the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly and those guys, that kind of offense, they did it a lot back then. Then I played more, man. LT became the same position guy, which we count outside linebacker slash defensive end. So number seven, so LT and I will rotate. Now, if we went to even front, now I can stay in and then I moved down to the defensive end because I was big and strong enough. I could play that position. We saw this. Here's a prime example where Will Anderson would move down and play that end position. And now I could do that because I was more physical, bigger, stronger, and I could play the run in there. He couldn't. So that, therefore, we would show you regular sometimes, depending on our front, right? It was still a 3-4, but I basically would become that extra defensive end because I could do that. If that makes sense.
100%. And I'll just to put a bow on it, listen, and then this graphic is perfect because, like you said, so this star, right? That's the position. A Sam and a star are just interchangeable. It's just
same personnel. Player.
It's the same player, but different personnel. And that this yeah. is exactly why. Because like he said, when we both played the same position. We both played Sam. I played Sam. He played Sam. That means we would be walking out on number two. Go watch Miami. Who do you think they would put right there? So they would put 10 right there all day long. And that would force us not only to cover, but also play in space. We're not naturally going to want to play in space like a small nickel corner would like to do. So that's why you change it. But then he even built off of that. Depending on the personnel, normally like me and Anthony, we just played the jack and we went to nickel. We would rotate and Terrell. But as you saw the development, they liked Will Anderson enough that they couldn't keep him off the field. So what they do, all right, boom, we're going to kick him to that end and we can bring Dallas Turner to play the jack. So now we're still playing nickel, but we still have two outside backers in, but one is able to play in a 4-eye even though he's still out of place. But it still allows us to have five defensive backs on the field to cover, right, all the receivers and the things, the routes that we're getting on the back end, because that is a much better matchup than Will Anderson in the slot. End of story. I'm not arguing that anymore. There's no argument. I'm not explaining anymore. If anybody ever asked y'all about nickel defense, can you stop the run? Yes, you can. It's more about actually understanding. Yes, if you're going to go to nickel, this is why they came up with the mint defense. Kirby and Coach Saban, this is why, because they knew teams were going to 11 and then trying to run the football. But what they had to figure out was, all right, what are some things we can do to mitigate some of that, you know, like the weakness of the run defense in nickel? Mint defense. It's a tight front. 4-eye, 0-4-eye. Clogs up those gaps, keep those backers clean, and then it just helps you just, you contain the run a lot better even though you're in nickel. And there's other things you can do too. There's things that you, checks that you can get to that are bringing a guy, you know, from the boundary. You know what I mean? Because you got a little bit less space to work with there, so you're not threatened as much and you can be a little bit more aggressive. Like there's so many things you can do about out of this that people just don't know or don't even care to look up or ask, and they just run with this whole idea that
real quick, I know you got the phone, but if you look at this, right, so you put the lines right there to show you what that's their gap. When we talk about gap integrity, gap control, you see that defensive end right there, he's a B-gap player. The nose going to be an eight. Right, you know what I'm saying? He's going to have to play both two gaps. Does that mean that he's responsible for both sides of the A? That the jack now is a C-gap player, basically, right? Because he's over there. And then your mod, your star, is out there in space, right? He's going to have to be a run support, what we call, he's going to have to make everything play inside, make it turn inside. Right, we call it backer force back when we played. So maybe you call it mod force. And these backers can scrape. Now they on the rope, so to speak. The M, right, and then, right, that dollar right there. One if it's a play side, that dollar right there, he can sit there and play A gap right there. And if it flows away, he's got backside and he can check and he can scrape. Same thing for the M. So all these things can change based on what they're doing. And then based on nickel today, they run a lot of options, you know, run pass options. It makes it hard sometimes because now you're talking about discipline and responsibility, who's got a quarterback, who's got dime. You know, all these things make you play sometimes a little bit slower. That's what makes it more difficult because now they run in there, they hold that ball in the pocket of the running back, quarterback keeps it, he runs down the line scrimmage, then he throws it. I mean, so it's hard to play defense the way they allow offense to play right now. And teams need to understand that. It's hard to be a very good defense, like Alabama used to be. It's hard because the system don't allow defenses to play at that level because people want to see points. They want to see, you know, deep throws. They want to see all this stuff. That's what makes the game fun. So I'll shut up right there.
No, you're good. Yeah, Chase, send us a break because I know I just went way out. I was supposed to go to the phone lines. I promise. When we come back, we're going to the phone lines. I promise you we're going to the phone lines immediately when we come back. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC just had to teach that lesson real quick because it came up yesterday. We got it done. Everybody's good. Class is dismissed. We'll go to the phone lines when we come back right here, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Sponsored by Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
You guys already know the drill. I'm not going to waste any more time. To the phone lines we go, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. If you guys like that lesson, man, hit that like button. I got to remind you guys. All right, Smitty, welcome in. Talk to me, man. Sorry about that.
Gentlemen, how's it going, gentlemen?
It's good, Smitty.
Hey, first thing first, I thought about your dad, but lady, she's a city gal from Phoenix where I'm at, right? So had to make us a fish, some products of fish for her, right? Out of some black eyed peas, some cornbread, some collards, and macaroni and cheese baked in the oven. Hey,
yes,
I'm gonna say, she was like, "Wait, how you learn how to do this?" I'm from the South, but anyway, I'll say this: if you eat your macaroni and cheese on the stove top and not the oven, I don't want you on my team. But anyway, but here's the thing. All these people panicking about supposedly striking out. How can you strike out if you never got to the bat, got to the plate to swing the bat? And we got to remember also, a lot of these people ain't dealing with real agents. They're dealing with mama boyfriend or the Uncle Jimmy or somebody, the homeboy from school. You know, they're not real agents. Let's just be real here. If they were real agents, they would be messing up the money. But you guys play in the league. How would y'all feel if your team spent a big bag on someone in your position, more money from you, and they never even visit the facility? You know?
100.
Yeah, because think about this. That Pete guy, for example, never visited campus, not mad at him. Hey, they offer you that. How are you going to justify paying him more than Michael Carroll, who's freshman All-American, who was on your squad?
You can't really justify, but unfortunately, Smitty, I mean, you ain't really got a choice, brother. But I'll be honest with you, you're kind of on to something. You wonder why some of these guys get a little frustrated and end up leaving. You don't think these players kind of feel like that? They watch you,
because that's why they got locker room issues. That's what I'm telling you, because they know, and these kids are talking about what they're making, right? So it's not like there's some confidentiality in who's making what. So if Michael Carroll is underpaid and he bring this guy who's been there working, he's done everything you ask him to do, he's showing up at the workouts, he's busting his tail, then you go out and pay some dude a lot more money, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be division in the locker room. And I will say this. I think there's division in that locker room. And I know, and I can tell when there's division on a football team. And what I saw with Alabama and Indiana, that told me that there was something going on internally in that locker room. There was no effort there. Guys had shut down. Guys did not care. And I'm telling you, it's because of this whole situation with money. Who's getting a certain amount of money? And then these coaches now are forced to play certain guys and taking away reps. It's obvious. I know this because I know a lot of college coaches, and I know it's happening in SEC and ACC locker rooms because I talk to these coaches, and this is a major problem. And if you can't handle that, and if you're not able to bring synergy amongst your locker room, it is showing on the field, and that's the problem.
Yeah. You know what? Georgia is not going to bidding wars. Ohio State, they may let that freshman running back go. He asked for too much money. Texas, that's a story out that Texas is drawing a line on paying all this money because they made a mistake and made themselves known to school with the dollars, you know. And I think what happens is the problem with me is not even the money. It's the transferring multiple times with media eligibility. We're going to have guys going to three separate homecomings in the same year coming up, you know. And to me, that's the big issue. If people want to talk about coaches, but coaches have to pay a buyout if they leave. Lane Kiffin had to pay Ole Miss money. I know LSU did it for him, but you get what I'm saying. And I think, like you guys said, it's production-based business. And what's happening also, a lot of bad players get money. Because I remember Nebraska fans when they took Elijah Pritchard. Elijah Pritchard got seven figures. And you look on Twitter, they dog cussing them. But all you have to do is turn on the film sometimes. You know, and I think a lot of these coaches start even turning up the film. I think, because you mean to tell me some of these players get seven figures. And you got people on your team who worked all season. And you won't even give them a raise. Of course they're going to transfer. And I can't get mad at them for not landing players who didn't come to campus. Because in the NFL, 9 times out of 10, they're at your facility meeting you first before they sign you. You know, they're going to work you out, get your medicals, all that stuff. They're going to see you first. So why spend money on the sight unseen? And I think that's what fans got to understand. And the last thing is, gentlemen, because they got other people, I think college football, you go back to the NFL where you have a lot of young guys playing super early now. And I think so, because look at Alabama. They're going to be really young. You may see Georgia being young or Ohio State. And I just hope everybody don't try to go to Indiana model where they got a bunch of guys with kids are in kindergarten and they off their mama and daddy's insurance. And now they say, oh, that ain't going to work all the time. That is, like I said, lightning in a bottle thing. Because you got to have – those guys were his guys who were bought in for years. Now you may start bringing in guys who may not be as bought in, who's mercenaries, who can bounce, who don't have a connection with you. And I think that's the thing right there. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to start seeing schools stop paying all this money because you're still depending on boosters and people giving money out of their pockets with no return on investment. How long will they keep doing that? And that's the thing people miss. Because after a while, you'll get tired of it.
Yeah, I'll just say this to me. The only issue is, man, you're at a point where you got to have a balance, right? I mean, you can't over rely on the players that you do have because then you're, like you just said, you're matched up against teams that do have a bunch of 22 and 23 year olds with a bunch of experience going against your young guys who are good players. They're just not quite there yet. So unfortunately, it's almost like, man, you got to kind of cave in and say, hey, look, we got to do it too now or else we're going to get left behind. Now, maybe, you know, a couple years down the road, or at least maybe you say for a couple years, but hey, when these guys, when they're juniors and seniors, we're in much better shape. But here's the problem with that.
They go.
They might leave. What are the odds that they're even going to be there in 3 or 4 years? So unfortunately, it all circles back to what my dad was saying and why it's so frustrating because it is what it is at this point. Like that's what college football has turned to. I mean, you can't even rely on the recruitment and development of players because what is the retain rate? I mean, honestly, I'm genuinely curious, like what the percentage of guys that actually stick with the school they sign with all through college at this point. I would argue it maybe is 25%, maybe 25% of recruits stick with the school they sign with. And I think that's probably on the high end. I could be totally wrong, but we're going to ask ChatGPT after we could take a quick time out. Smitty, I appreciate it, man. Oh, go ahead.
I'll say this real quick. You made a point about looking at tape. And I remember you were saying there was another recruit Alabama was looking at pass rusher who had better tape than Tank Jones. Just remember, these people who make these ratings don't play ball. They don't understand assignment football and technique. You know, ask the people who watch the tape and know what they're looking at. But hey, you guys have a great weekend. Keep up the great work as always.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, Smitty. Let's see if we can get Raymond on here real quick before we hit our next timeout. Raymond, is he still with us? Raymond?
Yeah, I'm still here. I want to say hello to, I call your dad Mr. Pop, Mr. Pastor Payne. I followed him in the NFL and I still do now. But a lot of things he's saying is 100% true. But majority of players now, their mind is on, excuse me for saying, cars, jewelry, hair, weave, and weed. And Alabama used to be hopeless, mentally tough, and physically tough. And until they return to that, like in the house, with that type of focus, they won't make it back to the top. I was just wondering his opinion on that.
Yeah, his audio kind of just cut out for a second, so I think he's going to leave and then come back. But I'll make sure we ask him. But what I'll do is this, Raymond. We're going to go to break. I'll ask him when he leaves and joins back. I'll tell him to answer when we come back. Just make sure you keep listening and you'll get to hear him answer. But I just want to make sure we stay on schedule because we got a number of calls to get to. But I'll tell you mine before we go to break. Of course, Raymond. I was going to say, in my opinion, it comes down to having balance with it. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that you 100% want to have these guys that you recruit, you bring in, develop, and they stick with you, and you have the guys with the right mindset. But unfortunately, it's becoming, you know, a space where you have no choice, but you're going to have to rely on some of those guys, kind of like you mentioned, guys that are in it for the money, guys that might be on a one-year type deal. I wish it wasn't like that, but unfortunately, I don't see a way that you could return to being on top without having at least a couple of those guys, without having to rely on a couple of those guys. I agree with you. You definitely want to have it as few as possible, but in this day and age, I just don't see you doing it the old school traditional way. Like Clemson, like look at Clemson with Dabo Sweeney, who's trying to stick to that as long as he could, and look where that got him. I just unfortunately don't see that, and I hate that because this is the game that we all have known and loved, and it doesn't feel the same, like my dad said earlier. But unfortunately, if you want to keep up, if you want to keep up with everybody else, you have no choice but to go out there and get guys. Because at the end of the day, coaching is really important. Development is really important. Culture, all of that. However, I would argue that one other thing that people overlook is the Jimmys and Joes. And if you don't have the guys, better luck next year, because you're seeing what happens when people go out there and go get some good players. But hey, Raymond, really good question. He's about to hop back on here. I'll let him answer that. Just keep listening. But we're going to hit a timeout. That way we can get everybody in before we exit out of here. But thank you so much for calling, man. Thank you for being patient. Good deal. I think he already left early. All right, so we're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. We'll keep on rocking and rolling right here on the Miller's Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205.
Don't let body pain slow you down. Keep going with Aleve, because this year is your year. Try Aleve. Use as directed for minor aches and pains.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Don't miss the one and only Smokey Robinson live.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thank you.
9, 12:30 WTBC. I highly doubt Digger's still on the phone. Digger doesn't have that patience. No, Digger, you're still here. Oh man, Digger, yeah. What happened to you, man? Where you been at?
I'm waiting on a dishwasher to be delivered to my house. Picture this, I'm being dead serious. My wife, she gets in her car and this was in lunchtime about an hour ago. Sticks her head out now. She's driving a Mercedes. I didn't pay for it. Her daddy did. Sticks her head out the window of a Mercedes and said, make sure the house is clean after they leave.
Mm.
I said, what? Yeah. Think about this.
Did you tell her to make sure she got a sandwich ready for you?
No, we don't do that. Buddy, come on.
My wife,
on.
Listen. Jesus, my wife is a good cook, and I know better. But if I want a good meal, I do not tempt her with that kind of talk. Holy cow.
That is inappropriate talk. Don't do that, dear. Go ahead.
Trust me, I know better. Listen. I don't know who was on the phone and said that a pro ball in college football now. Are you kidding me? It's been pro for decades. Don't give me that nonsense. They weren't getting paid before.
Digger, it's totally different, man.
Jeremy Pruitt and a $500 McDonald's bag or the improper benefit from
it. That's the same.
Yeah, $5 million, like Texas Tech just paid that quarterback, guy. Brother. That is look. $5 million for 1 year from Texas Tech to a quarterback out of the transfer portal, brother. That is, even if it was 5,000 racks in that McDonald's bag with a Big Mac on the side, not even close.
What you need to know, that's a 2 year deal. That's not a 1 year deal. Now keep in mind, what was your highest paid player on Alabama's team this year? No secret. You can tell me.
Williams.
Right. Was he worth every penny?
No.
Come on. No.
No.
No. That's exactly my point. No. You're overpaid.
It's kind of like your quarterback is getting $8 million. He ain't worth $500,000. You give him $8 million.
Okay. Yeah. Get off Ryan, now, man. Don't be talking about Ryan like that.
I'm talking about the Manning quarterback at Texas. And look, he gave up some money so he can get more players in there. And it's not working out.
I respect that.
Okay, I guarantee you.
But that's what they do with the pros. Look at him. He's already taking the pro approach. That sounds like a pro quarterback to me.
Right.
Taking a pay cut in college.
Exactly. Come on, man. Now, keep this in mind, and I'm being dead serious about this. Come on. If you show results on the field, you'll get your money. Okay, and we're all grasping at straws to get the talent just on potential alone. Okay, look at the teams that are left in the playoff now. 40% of the teams are through the portal. Indiana, Miami, Ole Miss was doing it. Okay, so come on. It's no secret. That's the way you got to do it now. You can't rely on good old high school recruiting and development because you don't even know if you're going to have your coach the next year.
Oh,
and I'm telling
on,
you,
Dick.
The coaches are feeling the heat, too. Come on. You got to be serious about that. Are you serious?
I agree with Dick on that. I agree with you, Digger. I don't agree with you much, but I do right there.
No, listen. I'm just saying. I don't want to jump the gun here. No, I'm not dumb. I understand. Like the expectations. Coach Saban just said it on game day. I don't think anybody's going – we're not surprising anybody. Like, yes, you know, making the – what do you call this? The elite eight, the final eight, like – it's good,
yeah.
But the standard here at Alabama, we all know it's through the roof. And then the losing in the fashion in which we lost, that definitely probably warmed things up a little bit. I'm not saying no hot seat. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to get ostracized here. I'm not saying he's on a hot seat. But there's probably a little bit more pressure than there would have been had we not lost in that fashion.
Some of them players in the Alabama locker room should have been getting EBT cards instead of contracts.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
That's true, but look, hey. Oh, man. But look.
Hold on, Digger. You're getting too much of a kick out of that now. Hold on now.
I did. I thought that was funny. But like, come on, man. I mean, you're getting everything you asked for. My question is what is the SEC going to do about the Big Ten and this $150,000 buyout? Did you hear this story?
No.
Every player in the Big Ten, every player in the Big Ten has to pay $150,000 if you leave the conference. That's a buyout. Every player in the Big Ten is doing that.
Did they break their contract?
He's not doing that.
Well, I mean,
okay. So it's become a sticking point.
I help people stay put.
I like it because them kids are going to want to pay 150 G's.
It's not them though. It's going to be other schools or agencies, stuff like that. Yeah, it ain't going to be them kids. Them kids, I don't even know if these kids realize they got to pay taxes, even though they're 1099 independent workers.
We had a couple of offensive linemen out of Michigan make the ultimate decision to stay in put because they didn't want to pay that $150,000 buyout. Okay? And it's all in agreement with the Big Ten. And you know why they did that? Because Fox asked them to do it to make sure they keep the talent in the conference. Very interesting. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I got to look into that.
Good stuff, Digger.
Yeah, really good stuff. Always a pleasure, man. Always entertaining. If you got Les Train on the phone lines, I sincerely apologize. I promise. I try to get through as many as we could, but we do got to make room for Wyatt. But
I said, man, get out of here. You give them players an EBT card, and if they play good, you put money on the card. They can have a little bit more. If they play bad, you deduct. That's what they do. Give them a little card. Give them Bama Bucks, whatever they call it. A Bama Bucks EBT card. And when they play like they did with Indiana, you know what? Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Go do title for cash and get you some money to buy pizza. That's what they got to do.
Oh, brother, this has been a fun. It's called Free for All Friday for a reason. We're going to get out of here on the radio side of things. I'm going to hang out on the stream for a little bit if there's any film we need to pull up real quick. And
I'm out.
He's out. That'll do it for the Pastor Pay. Myself, Chase Behind the Glass. Appreciate you guys. Seriously, all our listeners, Tide 100.9, the app, WTBC, all that good stuff. Tide 100.9, you guys rock. Looking forward to doing it on Monday right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.